This is Paige, the co-host of Giggly Squad, and I want to tell you about a company that I've been loving, Olive & June. Olive & June gives you everything that you need for a salon-quality manicure in one box. And if you break it down, it really comes out to $2 a manicure, which is absolutely insane. It's also so easy to get salon-worthy nails at home with Olive & June. The difference between how your nails used to look when you did them yourself and now with the Manny system is a complete game changer. The best thing about Olive & June, too, is it's a quick dry. It dries in about 1 minute, lasts for 5 days, and full coverage in up to 1 to 2 coats. Visit oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system. That's oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system.
Normally, being a little extra can be a bit much, but when it comes to healthcare, it pays to be extra. And United Healthcare makes it easy with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they supplement your primary plan, helping you manage out-of-pocket costs without the usual requirements and restrictions like deductibles and enrollment periods. So when it comes to covering your medical bills, you can feel good about being a little extra. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Burrow is a furniture company known for timeless design and thoughtful construction, and free shipping, and that extends to their outdoor collection. Their outdoor furniture is built to withstand the elements, featuring rust-proof stainless steel hardware, weather-ready teak, and quick-dry foam cushions. For Memorial Day, get 15% off your Burrow purchase at burrow.com/acast, and up to 25% off outdoor. That's up to 25% off outdoor furniture at burrow.com/acast.
Welcome to the Football Ramble. Liverpool lift the trophy on the cop. Brentford fall just short, which means West Brom are Premier League. It's Thursday, the 23rd of July. I'm Jules Breach.
I'm Jim Campbell.
And I'm Luke Moore.
It was the final night of the Championship, and what a bloody night it was as well. It was crazy. So many things changing from minute to minute, and it was just brilliant to watch as a football fan, wasn't it?
It's just unbelievable, isn't it? It's so consistently good. The Championship reminds me of like a sort of thriving underground music scene that's like way more interesting than what you're hearing on the radio. And like, there's maybe about, you know, two bands are definitely gonna sort of go mainstream soon and start their new scene. And there's, you know, maybe about four others where you think one of them's a prospect. It's just like, it's just so exciting.
So good.
I've never felt more excited about the possibilities and the permutations since I last saw Jules Breach with the cocktail menu. What's she going to order? Could be anything. Yeah. It could be anything.
Could be everything.
Yeah,
eventually.
Probably will be everything.
One of each.
Yeah, exactly.
Lychee martini is my favourite, though.
Yeah, is that right? Good to know.
Strawberry daiquiri?
Good to know.
Yeah,
all of them.
All of the above. Yeah. Do you know what? It was just a mad night, but it was so exciting watching everything change. And it was actually nice to be a neutral and not pain of everything changing and getting your hopes up and then them being destroyed a minute later. So it was actually nice to watch as a neutral. I kind of took it all in watching the soccer special with Jeff and the boys.
Yeah, huge night for fans of the phrase "as it stands" everywhere. Because every time you hear it "as it stands," you're like, okay, what's it going to be? And you know, it also delivered through the entire evening, because as we discussed on the WhatsApp briefly, like on survival days, whatever they call them, survival Sunday, this and you know, whatever. Sometimes it's a bit of a damp squib. If you need a certain result to get everything going, because that means that the other teams around the country hear that that's happening. Yeah. They've got to do this and they've got to do that. If the one team or the two or three teams, whatever it may be, that need to get a result don't look like getting one, because the best thing that could have happened was West Brom not looking like they were going to win.
Yeah,
and that got everyone going. And
absolutely.
you've got Barnsley look obviously doing their thing against Brentford, which has huge permutations all over the table. It was incredible to watch.
But also, it was the kind of the status of the matches as well. As you say, there was so much to play for at both the top and the bottom of the table.
But three teams could have been promoted and eight teams had a chance of being relegated.
Mm.
But the fact that Barnsley, who are bottom of the table, playing against Brentford at the top of the table, you expect that result to go one way. And when it starts going the other, it's just so exciting because you think this is all the players putting their absolute everything into this last game of the season.
Yeah, but even within that, like they went one up. You thought, oh, this is amazing. They get pegged back. You think, oh, maybe it's not going to happen. And they win it in, like, what was it, the 91st
minute?
Like,
injury
it's just,
time.
Even that had a mad little narrative within itself.
It just after Ollie, not long after Ollie Watkins had an amazing chance to put Brentford 2-1 up, which he didn't even connect with. And that was a really, really unlucky and unfortunate series of games. Well, the last two games for Brentford, because they dominated the game really against Stoke. Had the lion's share of possession, had loads more shots, and obviously ended up losing 1-0. And then this happens with Barnsley. I mean, because you think that, I know it was reliant on a West Brom result, but West Brom obviously did slip up. So what you can essentially say is if Brentford won their last game at home against one of the worst teams in the division, they would have been promoted. They'd have taken that all day long, especially on the run they went on since the game came back. So, incredible turn of events. I feel sorry for them, although they are a club moving in the right direction, got a new stadium, they seem to run themselves in the right way, so there's a lot of reasons to be positive about Brentford. But looking at the expressions on the faces of the players, and I know I always say this when a team finishes third in the Championship, I think you'd be foolish to back them to win the playoffs.
Oh yeah, it's got to wreck your head for the playoff, a situation like that. You've got such a big job as the manager there to actually lift the players and get them up for what's going to be, you know, some pretty full-blooded tough games.
It's exciting TV as well.
It really is.
So good.
I had West Brom QPR on the other TV, but you'd be an absolute mug not to watch the updates as they go.
The soccer special, So I had soccer special on my telly, and then I had Liverpool Chelsea on my iPad. So I was watching kind of like two screens, and we will talk about Liverpool lifting the trophy a bit later on, and that mad game at Anfield, 8-goal thriller to end Liverpool's last home game of their Championship winning season. But I had it on a split screen as well. And the soccer special was just so exciting. It was just drama after drama. And Jeff just does an amazing job, doesn't he?
Do you feel sorry for Big Paul Merton?
Not really.
I do, because he just seems so confused all the time.
There was a point.
He had a little telly, didn't he?
Yeah, there was a point where he said, I've missed the Luton goal because I'm watching it on a really little telly.
Yeah, I want someone at that point to say, no, the telly's just further away, Paul. Just bring it closer, bring it closer.
Paul, you're squinting.
There's a list. I've got conflicted emotions with Paul, because he's obviously a legend at Portsmouth and you know, helped us get promoted to the Premier League and stuff, and it was brilliant. But he is always confused. And alongside Martin Keown and Jonathan Pearce, they seem confused more regularly than should be acceptable for a professional live broadcaster, you know? Mm. I just don't think that should be part of it. You should give the air of knowing what's happening. That's a prerequisite, right? Yeah. And I know it can be a bit charming occasionally when the mask flips. You're like, oh, I'm a human being too. But if you do that all the time, you don't give a football player. Like when Lionel Messi makes a mistake, people always take to Twitter and go, oh, he is human. Yeah, but if Lionel Messi did that all the time, he wouldn't be a good football player. It's the same principle, right? So that's why that's how I feel about Paul, although I do feel sorry for him. But one person I did love on Soccer Special was I know someone who's a big favourite in this part of the world, in this parish, big Gareth Ainsworth.
Oh, yes. So at the start, I thought, ooh, Gareth Ainsworth is a pundit tonight. This will be interesting, because punditry isn't easy. Let's just remember that. A lot of people think that you just rock up and you can just sit there and watch a football game and speak. It is a lot more tricky than...
It's not like being in the pub, is it?
No, it's not the same. And I thought, well, I wonder how he's going to get on. But he's so charismatic and he's so interesting and different. He was really good.
Were you getting Sean Bean vibes from him? he's got a bit of the Sean Bean kind of, you know, sharp type vibe. Yeah. All it was missing...
But Sean Bean in a band.
Yeah, basically. But he didn't say bastard enough. Shame. He's a bastard. Imagine we said that every 5 minutes, like Sean Mead. But the thing about Gareth Ainsworth as well was that he knew, and that sounds mad, but then obviously he sat next to, you know, Paul Merson or whatever, but he knew a lot of the players, a lot of the protagonists from the night's events quite intimately. I mean, he talked quite well about the QPR forward, what's his name, Everett Easy.
Yeah. A goal from him.
Yeah, a brilliant goal. And he said, look, he's a really great talent. He's one of the best talents I've worked with, and here's why. And it was actually genuinely insightful. And when they cut to him, and the big hair and the headphones, he just looked great.
Yeah.
Just looked great.
I love his little beaded necklace that you can see just on the side of his shirt as
Gap year necklace.
Yeah, he's got a... He's almost like a Sims character.
Yeah, I know what you mean.
Like someone's dressed him in this just really experimental way because they've got a little bit bored.
Yeah, I know. I don't want people to misunderstand what I'm saying. I don't think it's cool. I think he looks a bit like a tragic dad. But I enjoy watching him on TV.
I very much enjoy watching him. And of course, he was watching the West Brom QPR game, as you just mentioned, Luke. And West Brom secured that second automatic promotion spot. So they are a Premier League club. We talked about Brentford just missing out. And that means that West Brom are promoted. Slaven Bilic back in the Premier League.
Yeah, that's good news, isn't it? Also, have they still got that Combi Boiler mascot? Be good to see that in the
Premier League. Is that him?
I believe so, yeah.
I hope they do.
Without meaning to offend West Brom fans too much, it's, as a neutral, it's quite hard to get excited about them getting promoted, isn't it? Because they have been such a yo-yo club. But, you know, Slaven Bilic makes them very, very exciting. And obviously they've earned that place.
We get Charlie Austin back though.
Yeah, and that's good as well.
Always good.
So, joke. Good luck to them. It is. It's a joke.
They've limped over the line, West Brom, haven't they? Mm. They didn't win any of their last four games. Got three draws in their last four. Bilic looked very calm on the touchline. Like he seemed like he kind of knew something that everyone else didn't.
Well, he definitely knew when Brentford conceded because all of a sudden you saw them go quite defensive for their final few minutes of the game as if to say, we don't
ball.
Need to go for this now.
A draw is enough, boys.
Yeah. Let's just calm the hell down.
Yeah.
It's so weird watching stuff like that unfold, isn't it? Because it was one of those rare times where there's so much happening. It's almost like the live TV broadcast of it gets overwhelmed. But generally, if you're watching something where there's that much breaking news, it unfortunately tends to be something that's bad.
Yeah.
There's like a sort of big global news event. So to see a positive thing unfolding like that is just like pretty uniquely brilliant TV.
That's a really good point, actually. Yeah, normally when it's that fast-paced or it's really kind of transcends what's happening. It's because of its bad news. But I mean, listen, obviously, Jim, people who support, listening to this, who support Nottingham Forest, will probably say that it was a bad night and it was bad news. Our dear old one of our producers, Tom, who's a big Forest fan, he was absolutely gutted. But
winding him up a bit in the WhatsApp group because my other half's a Derby fan.
Right, okay.
So, and,
but the thing is, don't you think Tom's kind of mindset was similar to a lot of Nottingham Forest fans I know, which is just like,
We were always going to do it.
We would have done it in the playoffs anyway, so why don't we get it out of the way?
I think fans of certain clubs that are a bit defeatist like that, you almost get annoyed when people point out the club's deficiencies because it's like, yeah, we knew this was going to happen, so actually, you're
that
late.
That was a real, real fall from grace, though, for Forest because literally, they needed a 5-goal swing and it ended up a 6-goal swing.
With an own goal to top it off.
How has that happened? Swansea, with a huge win, means they secure that final playoff place in the Championship and Forest drop out. And it'll be interesting to see how they bounce back from this next season. Do they keep their coach? We'll have to see how the rest of the summer unfolds. Can we just go back to West Brom though? Because we've had this brilliant email from Elliot Jones, who is a Baggies fan, and he says, Ramblers, that was easily the most stressful and tense 95 minutes of football in my watching life. Very happy to be out of the Championship though. Even if we don't stay up in the Premier League, it's another year where I won't have to endure the weekly heart attacks associated with a Championship campaign. A busy summer needed for the Albion, but now it's time to celebrate. Up the Baggies, big up Bilic, and boing, bloody boing.
That's what football's all about.
Yeah.
That's what it's all about for a football fan. Look, I think I heard earlier in the week, you guys, I can't remember who was on the show, it certainly wasn't me, but talking about Leeds United. I actually think Leeds United have got a much better chance of being successful in the Premier League next season than they were given credit for. Mm. With West Brom, it's quite interesting because they've got, I know the players that will spring to mind, the players that we'll talk about or that we'll think about, players like Kieran Gibbs, Hal Robson-Kanu, Charlie Austin, you know, Kamil Kuzicki, you know, maybe hasn't featured an awful lot, but they do have some good young players as well. I mean, Dean Jana was great last night from what I saw. His numbers are pretty decent. Matheus Pereira has been really important for them. A lot of assists. So they do kind of have a core that they can build around. But it does depend, as Elliot, who emailed in, sort of alludes to, it does depend on how they approach it. Because if you see what happened with Fulham last year, they spent so much money. Mm. And this year they're no longer in the Premier League and they've missed out getting promoted again. It didn't work for them. They ended up cycling through managers. Yeah. So there are different ways to approach it. So I suppose with West Brom having a bit of a history of being in the Premier League on occasion, perhaps they'll approach it in a slightly different way. Slaven Bilic has had some success in the Premier League as a manager, hasn't he? So you never know. I think Leeds are standout. I think they're far and away the best team in the championship, as we've seen. They have a great, exciting team as well. And if they can convince Marcelo Bielsa to stay, I think they've got every chance, because they were, I'm fairly certain he'll be back.
Wasn't he quite cute in his little Leeds Champions t-shirt last night with the
funny.
Leeds celebration?
Yeah.
Bless him. On their naughty bus.
that was a bit naughty.
I saw a good Twitter quote of that picture of him and this thing, and everyone's standing around him cheering it. And the quote was something like, "When your mate who never comes out to the pub finally comes out."
that is literally what he looks like, doesn't he?
I think it's mad that we're even having to have that conversation. Like, if Bielsa stays, surely that will get sorted out and figured out. We'd love to see him up in the Premier League.
It will be. I think from the club side, it absolutely will be. But you can never really know or understand what Bielsa's thinking. Mm. He makes mad decisions sometimes. And I don't think anyone at all thought he would stay after they missed out last season. Yeah. Right? But he did, and he's done what he's done. I've no particular knowledge about whether him staying or not. I'm just saying it's not done and dusted, because he's quite an eccentric character. That's the only reason I'm saying it.
He's probably got a PowerPoint presentation weighing up the pros and cons of whether he should stay or not.
Yeah.
I'm sure he does.
Do you think there's a chance he could get offered a better job, though?
It's not impossible, is it? There'd probably be quite a lot of chopping and changing. Go to Watford.
That would be an insult to the great club of Leeds United, Jim. And I'm distancing myself personally from that comment.
Looking at the rest of the playoff picture, though, just to wrap things up at the top of the table, as we said, Forest missed out. Swansea snuck in and got that final sixth spot. It's Cardiff, Fulham and Brentford. So it'll be fascinating to see who that third team is that manages to go up through the playoffs. Let's take a look at the relegation picture in the Championship now, because this was pointed out on Twitter by Colin Miller. This is amazing when you actually think about how it's ended up. After Hull beat Middlesbrough 2-1 on the 2nd of July, which was 20 days ago, the bottom five teams in the Championship were Huddersfield, Middlesbrough, Stoke, Barnsley and Luton. And after last night's results, none of those five teams were relegated as things stand. And we have to point that out, because Wigan, of course, may win their appeal for that 12-point deduction. But as things stand, Charlton, Wigan and Hull are the relegated teams. Barnsley were fantastic last night. We talked about the Brentford side of things. Mm. But for those Barnsley players to go out on the pitch and leave their absolute all out there was amazing, the way they finished the season. They were bottom and 7 points from safety when we restarted after lockdown, and they've managed to get themselves out of it.
Yeah, I think that I made the point a week or two ago. It might have been after the Leeds game, which they narrowly lost 1-0 to Leeds, and they were decent in that game. Mm. They were very unlucky not to get something out of it. And then they followed that game up, obviously against the best team in the Championship, who they ran really close, with two wins.
Yeah.
Every time I watch Barnsley, and admittedly it's not as often as some people do, they've been all right. I was always really surprised to see them right that far down there, and they've managed to escape pending that Wigan appeal, which I think most people think Wigan won't be successful with that appeal, so Barnsley should be fine. But it's not done and dusted yet. But another interesting point, as I saw someone tweet, Jake Saunders tweeted, Barnsley were in the relegation zone every week from the 15th of September until the 91st minute in the final game of the season and survived. Oh. Charlton ran it for 1 week all season and got relegated.
Oh, no way.
It can happen. Portsmouth won League Two by being top of the table for 20 minutes at the final game of the season. It's all about
it's
timing.
It's incredible, isn't it?
But one thing that has... if we assume that Wigan will be relegated, one thing that is worth pointing out, I think, is that if you look at the teams that have gone down this season from the Championship, Hull, Charlton and Wigan, they all have one thing in common, which is that they've been run abysmally off the pitch. And the mismanagement, that's nothing to do with the players or the manager, to my knowledge, has consigned them to being relegated to the third tier. And it's a real shame. And it's part of not even an emerging pattern now, a regularly available pattern of football clubs, particularly outside the Premier League. And it's not sustainable, as we say, every year, which is kind of a bit weird because it still happens. But you feel like it's not a sustainable model. And I think the way Wigan, particularly recently, Charlton have had their problems for years, well documented, and the way Hull have gone, it's a very, very, very disappointing set of circumstances.
Wigan, unusually as well, since that news, I say unusually, I wasn't expecting it, ever since we heard the news about the takeover and the new owners and the problems behind the scenes, they would actually be third in the Championship since the start of the year. When you look at the points they've won, they've been incredible. Only Brentford and Leeds have taken more points since the start of 2020, and yet they're being relegated. It's a terrible situation. I've got a mate who's a Wigan fan, and he's absolutely gutted about last night, because unfortunately it just wasn't meant to be.
Yeah, it shows you a lot about focus, I think, doesn't it? And Barnsley are a good example of that as well. When, especially, maybe the break actually helped these teams and these players get more focus on what it was they needed to do, because it was suddenly in a shorter period of time. But if you have, if you're so entirely, completely focused on what it is you need to do, and it's, there's a clear objective like that, clearly you can raise your game. And that if it matters more to you and you're more focused on it, you can get results that might look a bit surprising from the outside, especially in a league like the Championship where it's so sort of kind of vast.
And I think you could also argue that, you know, if it's maybe a little bit difficult with Liverpool, who I know we'll come on to, because they were so far ahead. But if you take a team like Leeds and a team like West Brom, who've managed to get promoted automatically, and by the way, shout out to Chris Brunt, who I think might have played his last game for West Brom. He's been an amazing servant for them. I think he might retire at the age of 35, I was reading. So brilliant, brilliant player over the years. But they have found it arguably harder because of the break. All this chat about people talking about, oh, should you, I know it's a bit cheeky and people are only doing it to get attention, essentially, but they're saying, oh, do you put an asterisk on a title win or whatever because of this season? You could argue it's even harder.
Yeah,
in fact, they've completely gone down to no football again. They've had to rebuild from a standing start, essentially, with no match fitness and still managed to close it out. Particularly the way someone like Leeds play is incredible. And the stat I read, which really summed up for me for Leeds, was the game after they secured promotion, they run the most of any game they've run this season.
Wow.
Which, I mean, if you think about how teams can drop off when they know they've already got something.
Well, we saw it with Liverpool.
Yeah,
didn't we?
It's an incredible, incredible dedication to Bielsa, who I know we come back around full circle and start talking about him again, which is he's that kind of character. It's fascinating to me hearing players for Leeds talk about Bielsa, because they don't just say, oh, it's been great because he's won us games and because he's picking me, which is essentially what people normally say. They say stuff like, he's the best manager in the world. He's the best manager I've ever worked with. He's completely changed how I think about football. Yeah. You don't hear that often. There was an amazing piece in The Athletic about Calvin Phillips and about how Bielsa completely reinvented Calvin Phillips after he didn't go to Aston Villa when they got promoted. He decided to stay at Leeds. Bielsa repurposes him as his defensive midfielder. He's one of the best players in the Championship now, possibly even the best player in the Championship. And he said, look, I had to start thinking about football in a completely different way. And it's incredible to have a manager do that, especially when he's of advanced years. He's been doing this for a very long time, you know.
Yeah, it's quite amazing. What about Luton, though, just at the bottom of the table, managing to stay up for now, as we say, based on depending on Wigan's situation with their points deduction. They were 10 points from safety in February. And last night, they only had one shot on target but managed to score three goals.
And wasn't it a penalty?
Yeah.
So no shots on target from open play and
when you've got luck on your side.
Yeah.
Amazing.
Like that, I don't know, that does kind of play into the sense that the Championship is this sort of chaotic vortex on the last day where,
proper,
you know, circumstances will just happen to you rather than, you know, by you.
You've got to go with the current of the river, basically.
Madness.
Just float along with it. I mean, you should also say, by the way, there could be a Cardiff Swansea playoff final.
Oh, that'd be amazing, wouldn't
it? Absolutely amazing. That would be tasty, wouldn't it? And a quick nod to the Warlock, Neil Warnock. He's managed to keep Borough safe. He was brought in for that job and he's done it.
People just stopped thinking about it as soon as they hired Warnock, didn't they? Yeah. Like, yeah, well, that's done then. No one even mentioned it. They won their final game of the season as well, didn't they?
Yeah, they beat Sheffield Wednesday 2-1. And of course, Neil Warnock's a Sheffield United fan. So a little bit of extra love in that.
There's always a little bit of sweet sugar in there for Neil somewhere.
Yeah, always. All right, let's take a break after this. We're talking all about the Premier League.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Jackmate's Happy Hour is back for a brand new season. It's the podcast where we talk to some of the most exciting people in the world, from Ricky Gervais.
In some ways, fame makes you a better person. You know, it's like, I don't believe in God. I don't believe in God's watching me. But I know someone with
everyone else's.
To undercover police officers.
Can you see the fading scar there, gentlemen?
Yeah. Yes. Yeah.
That's where I was stabbed in the neck by a drug dealer once.
Or we just talk about whatever's making us laugh right now.
When you think back to school kid banter, like, it's well funny because of how immature it is. We had this teacher called Mr. McGibbon, and he had this big cushion that he was teaching us how to rugby tackle on. He just ran up to it, rugby tackled it, but landed on top of it, and one of the kids shouted, "It's not your wife, sir."
That is funny.
Listen to Jackmate's Happy Hour on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods.
Jackmate's Happy Hour is a Stakhanov production.
You're listening to The Football Ramble with me, Jules. I'm here with Jim and Luke on the day after Liverpool finally lift the Premier League trophy. And it was after an unbelievable final game at Anfield of the season. Liverpool beating Chelsea 5-3, an 8-goal thriller. All sorts going on. Some incredible goals to witness. And of course, the trophy lift to cap things off as well.
Yeah, it was brilliant, wasn't it? It had no right to be that good. A lot of it was because, as we've discussed before, Chelsea have a keeper that doesn't make any saves.
I just find that baffling.
I know.
I know whenever you mention the word Kepa, I just jump in and everyone just rolls their eyes because I need to talk about Kepa again. But it is, I mean, carry on, Jim. I just want to make it clear for the record, it is mad.
Yeah, I mean, I want to join you on this bandwagon, Luke, because the fifth goal was the only one he really attempted to make a save
No one
for.
Mentions it now. No. He's lowered expectations to the point where he just doesn't make saves. People just say, oh, he comes out of his area quite well and he can pass the ball well. I don't want to sound like, you know, Uncle Albert from Only Fools and Horses, but during the war, goalkeepers used to make saves.
Yeah.
And that's part of it.
Yeah.
It should be part of it.
This is a man who was once so confident. Maurizio Sarri subbed him off and he went, no, I'm staying on.
Yeah.
But where has that confidence gone?
Okay, you can stay on, but will you try and make some saves?
How mad was that situation when you think about it?
Yeah.
It's so weird when you think back to that moment. Your manager is telling you to get off the pitch and you're going, nah, I'm staying. Yeah. That just never happens. And we were reminded about that last night when we were chatting about
it's
it.
It's so weird. Yeah. I mean, I think it was because there was some confusion over whether he was actually injured or not. But still, it was all very, very strange and unedifying for everybody. But he just looks so shot of confidence. And there was a corner late on. There was a bit of an in-swinger. He left it. And you could hear all the Chelsea players, like three or four of them, going, Kepa, Kepa!
Right.
And they don't trust him at all.
Right.
They're terrified of him. It's like he's been hypnotised and he lives in a world where he has to play in goal, but he can't touch the ball and he can't figure out a solution for that.
Yeah.
And it looks nightmarish. I feel sorry for the guy. It's like a Twilight Zone episode.
I mean, I remember playing, when I played amateur football, we had a keeper, a couple of the players in the team didn't really rate. And it was really bad. If he made a mistake, which happened all the time, because with goalkeepers, it's all about confidence. One of the midfield players didn't rate and would just scream at the manager, who's on the bench? Who have we got on the bench? It's like, you can't be doing that. I mean, if they're doing like the equivalent of that at the very top level, at the home of the champions, it's probably a bit problematic. But look, Pulisic looks amazing when he came on.
Oh, what a goal from him.
Amazing player. Looks so, so good. I can't believe
it. Why didn't he start?
Yeah, I was about to say that. I can't believe he didn't start the game. But Liverpool, it was interesting because Liverpool looked like the better team for the majority of the game. Obviously, they score 5 goals, they win, they're the best team in the league, and we know that. But there was an element of jeopardy. Part of the thing that made this game so good is that Chelsea scored just before half-time.
Yeah.
And then they peg it back to 4-3 because Pulisic comes on and almost threatens to change the game. Of course, Chelsea push and then Liverpool catch him out on the break and he end up 5-3. Amazing game to watch. Like, really, really great game to watch. And just very, very enjoyable stuff.
And another Trent Alexander-Arnold free kick. That's just, like, how is he so good? It's actually ridiculous.
Mad.
It's just amazing from those free kick spots.
Oh, and his assist record is ridiculous.
Yeah, it's 12 again, isn't it? He's equaled last season's record with a game to go as well. So who knows? He might top that.
I think he might have the same amount of assists across the last couple of seasons as Kevin De Bruyne. And he's a fullback.
I mean, do you think he will stay as a fullback? There's been a lot of debate about this because I think Klopp said he could even play in the middle. I mean, it's an incredible weapon to have, isn't it?
Yeah. I just think he's so dangerous on that right hand side to have a player like that in your team as a fullback.
Yeah.
I think obviously
be a
like
a waste to move him anywhere
else.
Yeah,
I think so. I think it would be a waste. And also because Liverpool do have so many options in their midfield and their attack. I think keep him at right back.
Yeah.
It'll be interesting to see, though, whether they do try and mix things up. But what a game it was. Incredible goals. Of course, it means that Liverpool now undefeated at home in 3 seasons for the first time in their history. They haven't lost a game at Anfield for over 3 seasons now.
That's an incredible stat.
I feel a little bit conflicted about how you judge this Liverpool side based on what's transpired since. I know it's tricky because we had a big interruption in the season, but I feel like obviously they're probably going to go on to get 99 points. They're probably going to win 32 games out of 37, which is incredible. And they're going to be worthy champions by a distance. And we know they're the best team in the Premier League this season, obviously. But Jim, I'm trying to think of a way of phrasing this without coming across as I'm trying to deliberately wind up Liverpool fans, which I'm not. I feel like they probably...
You probably will, though.
Well, I'll probably end up doing it inadvertently. But I feel like they could have done more. I feel like they could have won every game at home this season, which was, I don't think has been certainly not been done before in the recent past. They could have broken the points record. They didn't. They could have gone undefeated. They didn't. They didn't win any other trophies either. Technically, they're still the Champions League winners.
Well, they won the Club World Cup, didn't they?
Yeah. Yeah, I know what you mean, but you understand what I mean. Yeah, it's like
domestic trophy.
I'm trying to almost think out loud, trying to judge how you rate a team in terms of the pantheon of Premier League winners. Because you think at United of 99, they win the treble. You know, you've got Mourinho's 05 team, you've got the Invincibles, you've got Ancelotti's Chelsea win the double. I'm just trying to place them in my own mind.
I think the problem is we've had this enforced tortoise and hare situation for teams like Liverpool, and you know, this kind of goes back to what we were saying about Leeds and West Brom as well, where they've had to have this big weight, and that's going to have a psychological effect. And obviously winning the league after the frustration of that is going to have another knock on one. But I know what you mean. There were times earlier on in the season we were thinking, are they going to win every game?
Yeah.
Because they looked like a machine that were going to not just, you know, not lose, but would win every single game. And it's a little bit disappointing to see this incredible feat not be achieved. But I mean, that's our problem rather than theirs.
Oh, of course, they're worthy. I mean, listen, they're 18 points ahead or whatever it is. They're worthy champions. I mean, I think an incredible stat, just to flip it round to the Chelsea side again, is that Chelsea have conceded more goals in the Premier League this season than Brighton.
Oh,
have
great.
Chelsea or has Kepa?
He's part of it.
Yeah,
You wonder whether it's because they haven't really got that many standout defenders, Chelsea.
Well, this is it. We were talking about this yesterday, weren't we? Like, who's Chelsea's best defender? You know, maybe Rudiger? But I think Rudiger's not consistent enough. Yeah, again, like, it's not obvious, is it? It's not standout.
They ain't got a Virgil, have they?
Absolutely not. And, you know, a few teams do, but a lot of teams at least have a sort of equivalent. And I think that's something that they've just desperately got to address. They're not great at set pieces, as was discussed a lot in the commentary yesterday. Not understandably, and not unreasonably, rather. And, yeah, it's a funny one with Chelsea, because while they've got these obvious problems, they're so obvious that they must be fixable. Yeah. And I feel like, more than any team in the league, I feel like if they stick with Frank Lampard, stick with their manager, stick with what they're doing, I can see them winning a title in maybe 3 years. I don't think Liverpool will be able to keep up this sort of dominance forever, because I don't know if anyone can. Man City, who knows if Pep Guardiola will be there. I think if they can back Lampard, get better defenders in, and he's got to fix the goalkeeper situation. Yeah. Like, that's without question. Yeah. Which they might hilariously try to do with Dean Henderson.
Oh, that would be funny.
Imagine that. United can't keep him because they can't get rid of De Gea, and Chelsea sneak in.
The other thing, Jim, is that they haven't... If you're going to go down that road, I don't know how you feel about this, Jules, but all the moves that Chelsea have made so far have been forward play.
Yeah.
They're still looking at Havertz as well.
They're focusing on the attack, which seems strange considering the amount of defensive issues they have.
Yeah.
I do think that when you talk about Chelsea's defence, aside from the goalkeeper, the fact that the goalkeeper is under so much criticism and is in the spotlight and has been pretty much for the whole season, that will affect the back line of Chelsea.
Oh, totally.
There's no doubt about it that psychologically that will affect your back line. It's like you see the difference in Liverpool since bringing Alisson into the team. And I know that that coincided with the arrival of Virgil van Dijk. So, of course, that's going to be a huge lift. But I think Liverpool's defence would have improved regardless just by bringing in that goalkeeper.
Yeah,
because the amount of confidence a really solid goalkeeper can give that back line, it makes such a difference.
Yeah, absolutely. It's all part of it. For sure.
You want your goalkeeper shouting at you as a defender. You don't want to be shouting at him.
I never want to see Jorginho caught out in a counter-attacking situation again as well. That's just offensive to my eyes. How a player of that level can be so slow is unbelievable. I mean, he's great at what he does.
Would
Jorginho.
You beat him in a race?
Probably not now, but I mean, how old is Jorginho? He's 28, so he's got 11 years on me. Does a 28-year-old Jorginho run faster than me? Probably, but it's closer than it should be for a Premier League
footballer.
Yeah.
Yeah. Fair enough. Yeah. What about the trophy lift, boys?
Yeah.
Obviously, it's not how Liverpool would have wanted to do it. They would have loved to have a full stadium of fans, but in the circumstances that we had, they made the best of the situation, didn't they? It was like an absolute rave. I love the fact that
that's like a rave. Yeah, I wondered how like long we were going to be privy to it for. Like whether Sky were going to go to the pub with it.
Well, they were playing Kanye West, All the Lights, for a good 5 minutes on loop, weren't they?
Like,
while they were waiting for the players to come out of the dressing room.
It was like Fiorentina playing Depeche Mode for the 80th minute, as you guys were saying the other day. But you know, the real heads were watching it on Ginny Wijnaldum's Instagram Live.
I had again, a split screen situation going on. Wijnaldum's Insta story on my phone, and then the main bit on the telly.
Sadio Mane was watching it on Georgie Wijnaldum's.
Yeah,
weird. Oh, that's actually annoying me.
Leave it.
Same. I was thinking to myself, you can download this right now with your own eyes and ears if you want, Mane.
He was literally like when you've got like a moody teenager sat around the family dinner table that doesn't want to pay any attention to conversation, and they're sitting there just texting their mates or sitting on Snapchat or something. But this is your team winning the Premier League title. Yeah. Come on, Mane. Pay attention.
I did
soak it up.
I might have said it to you guys at the time, and maybe you didn't agree with me. I can't really remember. But I actually felt quite sorry for Liverpool last night.
Yeah.
I couldn't get a feeling out of my mind that they'd waited so long for this. And I know how much, and I don't agree with all this kind of Liverpool exceptionalism. It matters more to us, blah, 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 which they do say. Yeah, and that was part of a montage yesterday on the TV, which I don't agree with personally, but that's just my opinion.
Same.
But they waited 30 years for a title. They're a massive club. They're among the two biggest clubs in the country, and they're one of the biggest clubs in Europe. And they've waited 30 years for a league title, which is unusual, shall we say. Yet the fans who've supported them for so long in such a passionate way aren't there to see the trophy being raised. I felt sorry for the club. Yeah. I felt sorry for the fans particularly. It felt a bit like a facsimile of a trophy presentation, which I suppose it was always going to do. But to me, that it was a bit bittersweet. And so if you're a Liverpool fan, I imagine you feel that 100 times more than I do. But it doesn't take away from the fact they've been brilliant and
absolutely,
that the players look really happy to be there, of course. And it meant a lot to them. I just wish the fans could have been there to celebrate with them.
Yeah, I mean, You Never Walk Alone is a pretty unique thing in football. Like the way they belt that song out, and when it really matters, you know, when they're winning things, it's a spine tingling thing.
Yeah.
And for that to not be able to happen with the fans in the stadium at the end is a real shame. We've all missed that, not just Liverpool fans, because that would have been brilliant.
Some great little nuggets as well in the broadcast. One that Adrian lives in Carragher's house.
Yeah. Oh, I love
the bit as well where Martin Tyler was up saying
Carragher
about
went.
That.
Oh, sorry, mate, Jim. Carragher just went. He can live rent free for a year. Is what you're going to say? Yeah,
no,
sorry,
said, as long as he wants.
Yes, it's like, row back from that. Yeah, that's silly money.
He's probably doing that right now. Yeah, you know what, Adrian? That's absolutely not true.
And it's not legally binding anyway.
And don't be late this month.
Yeah.
I know you're probably out on the town. Another thing was Graham Souness being close to tears at one point.
And
the thing, you hear rumours from within football. I don't know if either of you have much experience of Graham Souness up close, but that he's actually a really lovely man.
Yeah.
And that it's actually quite disarming. And he's very, very different in person from how he is on screen and what you might expect. But when he was saying to Virgil van Dijk that, like, it was just like, you've just been brilliant. You've been brilliant. It wasn't quite fanboying because he's got too much status to ever really be doing that. But there was just a sincerity and a genuine warmth to it that was really, really sweet and really, just really enjoyable.
Yeah. Mm. And a shout out to Kelly Cates as well, who's just ever the professional. In that situation, as a Liverpool fan, as a young girl growing up and watching Liverpool with her dad as the manager, and then seeing this moment come back around 30 years after they've won you know, the title and just being part of that celebration. You could see in her eyes as well just how happy and delighted she was, yet she had to obviously remain professional and try and keep the show all together, because that must have been such a difficult thing to kind of manage. It was so loud in the stadium.
It's a techie point, but they couldn't hear each other either, could they?
No, they couldn't at all. But the interview with Jurgen Klopp, what about that? I mean, he is just such a good character, isn't he? And he acted like a Liverpool fan last night, which was so good to see. Yeah. I loved him kind of like doing his own little dancing on the pitch. He was kind of looking up to the stands. I'm assuming some of his family might have been let in for it last night. So it was nice that he could at least have some form of celebration. As we've already said, a shame the fans couldn't be there though.
Yeah. And on the Souness point, I mean, this is a guy who's, you know, he won so much at Liverpool. He won, you know, what was it, 5 league titles, won 3 European Cups. Like whenever Souness is punditing, and sometimes he says stuff you don't agree with, and we've been critical of him on this show in the past for different reasons, that sometimes they'll flash a banner up and you'll go, oh yeah, It'll be something ridiculous, like won 460 trophies for Liverpool. It's like, okay, fair enough. You know, you can forget that.
Yeah, of course.
I'm too young to remember him as a player. Yeah. So many people will be. But so obviously it means a lot to him. He had his best years in one of the best club sides of all time. And they've waited so long. And I think, or it might have been John Barnes who said, I didn't think we'd have to wait 3 years for another trophy.
Yeah, yeah.
And we've had to wait 30. So in perspective, it's a massive deal. Did you guys feel sorry for Takumi Minamino?
Oh, I really did. It actually broke my heart. Yeah. I was just sat there watching it thinking, oh, someone put their arm around him. Yeah. Bring him into the huddle.
Why did you, for those who didn't see it, explain why.
Yeah, so basically when all the players were going up to collect their medals, Minamino goes up and he's obviously not quite friendly enough with everyone to sort of feel like he's really part of this team that have won the league. So he sort of stood to the side and looked a little bit like a fish out of water, didn't he?
Yeah.
And I just wanted someone to go and just put their arm around him and bring him in. And he just looked a bit awkward, didn't he?
He did. And like, he's only been there since January.
Yeah.
And like, I mean, I don't know. Perhaps there's a language barrier. Who knows? Maybe that's a daft assumption. But it certainly looked like he didn't know where to be or who to be with. He was like,
new kid at school.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. You know, a periphery guy. I'm a periphery guy. It's horrible.
Do you remember that you're never a periphery guy when I'm around you? Do you remember, do you think it's possibly because he, there's two things that could be at play. One is that what you've said, and the other one is that because he's already won a league title this season with Salzburg, he's like bothered.
Yeah, he's like, I've already got one of these.
He's won two in one season.
That's got to be a first, is
I can't,
it?
I can't think of anyone else doing
no.
that. But it must have happened in the past.
Zlatan.
Yeah, probably.
Might have done that.
Yeah. But there was a
where did you go after that? Inter, maybe? Wherever it was.
You reckon it might be Zlatan?
I think Zlatan might have done that.
It's entirely possible. But
Someone tell us.
Yeah. Speaking of someone putting their arm around him, you know when they were all taking their turns to lift the trophy?
Mm.
Henderson did go over to him and so, literally it looked like he was saying to him, do you want to have a go?
Yeah.
And he was like, yeah.
See, that is,
and they took
that
him
is
over.
brilliant captaincy, isn't it?
That is quite sweet. The other bit that I thought was funny is when they were doing the You'll Never Walk Alone, they were all stood in a line. There was this element of like segregation of groups. So you had all the cool kids to one side. You had like,
who are your cool kids in your mind?
The cool kids are like Andy Robertson, Virgil van Dijk, Jordan Henderson. They were all kind of in one little group together.
Yeah.
And then you had all the coaching staff down the other end. And in the middle, you had the sort of fringe players.
Right.
Bless them. And you just
Youngsters.
Yeah, the youngsters.
Or there was Lallana involved.
Minamino was in that bit.
Was he? Okay. Oh. Yeah.
I hope he gets promoted to the cool gang.
He's just got to find his group.
Yeah.
And he?
He's cool.
He's cool.
He's got amazing hair.
Yeah, he is cool.
Takes time though, guys.
Yeah.
Can't be cool straight away. I'm still finding my way with the Ramble crew.
That's true. No, that's not true. You're running things now. Did you see Alison erotically shaking the champagne as well?
Oh, yeah.
The thing about it is I saw...
sounded like I enjoyed that bit.
Well, this is the thing, George. Yeah, you see Alison go and grab the champagne. You think, oh, he's not going to put it in his crotch and pretend it's a cock. Oh, he is going to do that. Oh, to be fair, he does actually look quite sexy.
Yeah. I would do that.
Tell him,
100%. You've got a bottle of champagne. You've got to make the most of it.
You wouldn't waste it.
No, definitely not.
He's a Hemsworth.
Oh,
I don't care. He's
a
another
brunette
Hemsworth. Yeah. No, Liam Hemsworth like looked more like him than Chris Hemsworth. But there's I don't believe he's not a Hemsworth. There's too strong a Hemsworth vibe because it makes me question my own sexuality, and that is rare.
Yeah.
Well, the Hemsworth brothers are the absolute dream, aren't they? Let's move on and talk about the top four situation now is getting even more exciting because it will obviously go down to the final day of the season on Sunday, which Marcus and you, Luke, you're going to be here tomorrow with Andy as well to kind of preview all the weekend's games. Chelsea need a point in their home game against Wolves to confirm top four. Manchester United West Ham last night, which was the earlier game, finished 1-1, which means a draw for United against Leicester will be enough on Sunday. So that's how it's all going to pan out on the last day. But let's talk a bit about the game and the West Ham equaliser. Let's start with that, because Paul Pogba gave away a penalty in different fashion.
No, it was West Ham went a goal ahead, didn't they?
Did they go ahead?
I think they went a goal
ahead. Sorry, they went a goal ahead.
Yeah, and then
so
not equalised.
It was unusual to see a Premier League footballer give away a penalty in this fashion, especially of Paul Pogba levels.
Unusual to see a Man United player make a save as well. It was bizarre. That ball is coming at him at some pace, so perhaps it's instinctive. I'm sure all of us would do the
That's
same.
That's exactly
but
what I would
we are
do,
not
to be
World
fair.
Cup winning footballers. You know, it's like it's a very exact situation where you think he's got to be doing better than that, because he tried to cover it up as well, didn't he? He tried to pretend he'd been hit in the face. It certainly looked that way anyway. And
but I the thing I liked about what Paul did was it was technically very good. But he got down to kind of one knee. It was a cross with both hands. It was like a superhero Marvel kind of, this is how
like
I would defend.
Landing.
Street Fighter.
Yeah, basically.
Yeah,
literally. Yeah, it was.
Hadouken.
And so I liked that part of it. It came from so far away from him that it's a bit of a, perhaps it's outdated, perhaps it's like an old-fashioned opinion, but it's certainly a prevailing bit of wisdom in football which says that you don't turn your back on the ball and you don't shy away from it. You have to take one in the face. Well, Gary Neville did say, I mean, and, you know, he's held up as, you know, one of the best pundits around. Gary Neville's direct quote was, "You don't do that, you take it in the grid."
That's
what he said. So I'm not saying I agree or disagree with that. I'm just saying that is the prevailing wisdom. And, you know, someone made a point on Twitter saying that perhaps if you've got to choose between giving away a penalty with a handball and a broken nose, maybe the law needs to change.
It's a reasonable point.
But in this case, the ball comes from so far away that he can do a number of different things. The only thing I can think of is, I haven't seen the replay, is that he wasn't looking. So maybe he's looking where his man needs to mark is, or he should be.
It sort of came
and
too
last
quickly.
Minute, he looks up and just does that instinctively. It's possible.
Could he have saved it with his feet?
Yeah, De Gea would have tried.
He could have jumped, but I think he surely would have jumped had what you've just said not been the case, Luke. I think it's.
Yeah.
I don't think Paul Pogba does that in training.
No, I wouldn't have thought.
It's not something you practice.
I don't think he bothers training. No, he does. But did you see the Curb Your Enthusiasm moment?
Oh,
the camera.
It was.
Where Antonio and De Gea were joking about it.
I'm not sure.
No, it was Fernandes.
Fernandes.
But Pogba in the background, the death stare.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, oh those eyes. He was burning a hole in the back of Antonio's head.
He was
not happy at all.
I found, just to talk about the game itself, one thing I did find really noticeable, and I'm sure there are other teams that this is relevant for, but United are a team of a certain size, of a certain reputation, so it's obvious to me, is that about halfway through the first half, it became really obvious that they dropped off in intensity. Mm. And I just wondered whether, if the fans had been there, that had happened.
Yeah.
I think there's a big reputation of United. They always do that attack, attack, attack kind of chart, and they really give their team a good lift. And that's not been there, obviously. And you could see a noticeable decline in intensity, which then ended up with them going a goal behind. And I just thought I'd mention it, because it's not really, we've sort of settled into a reality now where there's no fans. I just think it's worth pointing out that it does seem to affect stuff still.
Completely. You've got thousands of cheerleaders there, and there's an atmosphere that you can read in a way that isn't necessarily going to be there. It's like we were talking about QPR on the show earlier in the week. I don't actually know if they did it in the end or not, but they were certainly talking about having chants.
Yeah.
Like regular songs pumped in to help the players out. So clearly there's some credence to that. But it's worth saying, I think West Ham are very good again.
Yeah, they've been alright since
they're pretty solid. Enjoyed. It's a job.
Yeah. And
I feel like the ferryman has taken them close to shore.
Showing them what could happen.
Oh, look at that.
Yeah.
It's horrible in there.
Yeah.
Let's go back. We'll stay up. But, you know, don't forget that.
Yeah. Speaking of West Ham managers, I did some sums yesterday. That's not my area of strength, so apologies if I've got this wrong. But I think I'm right in saying that Mark Noble has played for 47% of all the permanent managers in West Ham's history.
Wow. They've actually, until fairly recently, they haven't had a lot of managers.
I think they've only had 17 in total.
Wow.
And he's played for 8 of them.
I was also intrigued to see that Mark Noble didn't take the penalty. He normally always takes pens. Or have I missed that? Is that something that's changed?
Yeah, that's
recently?
Right. I guess it must have been.
Because Antonio took it.
Yeah, I mean, Antonio's sort of all action for Moyes, isn't he? He loves him. Just like, you just lead the line on your own, and incredibly it works really well somehow, despite all the odds.
He's been their best player.
Yeah.
And the amount of money they've shelled out for players for Mikel Antonio to still be their best, West Ham fans won't thank me for saying this, but I'd like to see Antonio play at a higher level. I think he's got an awful lot to offer. Like, I don't know if he's properly found his level yet. Mm. I know he's 30 now, so maybe that'll never happen. I think he's a great player.
Well, he might yet find that there. They should, you know, they flirted with relegation, but obviously it's very good for them that they've stayed up.
They should be much higher in the league than they are. No question about that.
Mm, and they will, I would expect, get there next season. Mm. I don't think it will be that bad.
But you always think that about West Ham,
this is it.
Every single season. Well, look, on tomorrow's show, as I said, Luke, you're going to be back. Andy Brassel's going to be here as
Siege
well.
Siege 1 and 2 and in Marcus. The Luke's game. It'll be tomorrow.
Ooh.
Yeah. Big things.
Make sure you stay tuned for that. Yeah. And they're going to be previewing the final day of the Premier League season, which, of course, is on Sunday. So lots to look forward to. Jim, Luke, thanks for today. See you soon, Ramblers.
This was a Stakhanov production.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Normally, being a little extra might be a bit much, but not when it comes to healthcare. That's why UnitedHealthcare's Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, supplement your primary plan so you manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.